Dear friends, join with me in prayer. Oh, good and gracious God, thank you for the glory of this bright new morning. Even as the sun rises, it reminds us of the rising of the sun on that first Easter morning as you overcame the darkness of the tomb and even death itself, proclaiming victory for all who trust and believe in you. Today, Lord God, let the sun rise within our hearts afresh as we not only hear this marvelous, truth-filled story again, but that as we claim it with our hearts, our lives would be made new. In Jesus' name, amen. While it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed. While it was still dark, she came. What an appropriate beginning to this story of the first Easter. On Friday, Mary had seen her Lord crucified. She'd seen how the nails pierced his hands and feet, how a sword had been thrust into his side. Mary had watched her Lord and friend die a horrible death. And afterward, she watched as they laid him in a tomb, in the darkness of a borrowed tomb that was sealed with a stone. So while it was still dark, Mary came. Certainly an apt way to describe Mary's world. For on that first Easter morning, not only was there an absence of sunlight, Mary's world, I dare say, was filled with spiritual darkness. Mary's world was now without Jesus. Gone were her hopes. Gone was the promising future that she had anticipated for herself and for all who knew Jesus. The light of Mary's world had been snuffed out like a candle. Nevertheless, Mary braved the darkness of her world that day in order to return to the tomb and in a last gesture of love to finish preparing Jesus' lifeless body for burial. Now I want you to just imagine how Mary must have felt as she was making her way to the tomb that day, her eyes fixed perhaps on the dreary trail, the rock-strewn trail that led to the grave site on that very dark Easter morning so long ago, expecting to be greeted by nothing but a stone-cold tomb that was sealed and silent. But instead, Mary discovered a place that was open and empty. Thinking something terrible must have happened, Mary spun on her heel and ran as quickly as her legs would carry her back to the disciples to share with them the disturbing news. And when the disciples hear what Mary has to tell, Peter and John, we're told, race back to the tomb themselves to see if her story was true. Was the body of Jesus really gone? Who would do such a thing? Now John, being the younger of the two disciples, reaches the tomb first, but he doesn't dare look inside. Peter follows. And true to form with his character, he rushes right in into the midst of the darkness of the tomb and sees only there the linen wrappings that had been around Jesus' body. Obviously stunned by the whole experience, John's gospel, though, ends this saga with these simple words: the disciples returned to their homes, probably feeling more overcome by their own darkness of grief and feelings of hopelessness. By the time Mary returns to the tomb, the disciples are gone. But she does something that I think is crucial. She chooses to linger by the tomb And as she does so, her eyes are once again filled with tears, and she begins weeping, imagining what possible good could come from all of this. Finally, she ventures a look inside the tomb herself and witnesses something that even Peter and John were not able to see. She's greeted by angels dressed in white, and even before she can say a word, they say, "Woman, what are you seeking?" She says, "They have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." And it's then, in the midst of sorrow's darkness, that suddenly a flicker of new light begins to dawn. Sensing someone approaching her from behind, Mary turns, and even as she does so, she blurts out, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him that I may go and take him away." And then it happens. Jesus speaks to Mary words she never expected to hear. "Mary, Mary." I can almost hear her gasp as she finally recognizes this man who had approached her. "Is it possible? Is my Lord really alive?" While it was still dark, Mary comes to the tomb. She expects nothing else but darkness and death, and suddenly, surprisingly, God's Son appears. The darkness and despair of Mary's life is shattered by the new hope and promise of Christ's presence with her. An event so amazing that she races back to the disciples again, and she becomes the first to share the glad good news. "I have seen the Lord." Friends, in light of this encounter today, once more, of the risen Lord, I can't help but wonder how often it is that you and I find ourselves to be very much like Mary. Maybe engulfed, enveloped, completely challenged by our own private darknesses. So much so that we sit here even on this Easter morning, maybe a bit numbed to the good news. Do we experience the message of Easter much like Peter and John, who gazed into that empty tomb, presuming that we know the whole story, it still stands empty, oh well, and then return home unchanged? I wonder sometimes, as we gather on beautiful mornings like this one today, do we rush to the church all dressed up, full of sentimental feelings about Easter's past, excited about Easter baskets and Easter hams, that we can hardly hear yet another rendition of the Easter story before we too rush home, snap a few pictures, eat our big dinners, and take a nice nap? Christ is risen! Hallelujah! Isn't that nice? Friends in Christ, what would happen if we, like Mary Magdalene, paused long enough again to reflect at the side of the tomb and there to actually meet again, perhaps, maybe for the first time, our risen Lord? Just think about it. If Peter and John had not been in such a big hurry to return from what they saw was an ending, an empty tomb, hopeless, might they have heard Jesus call out their names? If only they had chosen to linger a little bit longer that day at the tomb, could they have seen the Lord just as Mary did? Is it possible that we find it difficult to linger in the darkness of our Lord's tomb because we're afraid of some of the experiences with darkness that are a part of our own lives? Maybe it's the darkness of a family concern that haunts us these days. A problem at work that won't go away. Anxiety about our health or our futures. Maybe it's something that we still feel guilty about, a painful memory. The prospect of losing someone we love. How many of us, like Peter, are trying to run away from our darknesses, our dark experiences, only to discover that the freedom that we're seeking eludes us? Perhaps, like Mary, what we really need most on this Easter morning is to take the opportunity again that we're given to linger, even if it's only for a few minutes, in the shadow of the empty tomb. After all, where did Jesus make himself known on that first Easter? Was it not while it is still dark? Was it not in the shadows of a place filled with death and death's experiences? As Mary chose to linger near the tomb, weeping, yes, longing for her Lord, it wasn't Mary that came to the Lord. It was our Lord who found her in that dark place. And I think that's the whole point of the good news that we gather around on this joyous Easter morning. God is still seeking after us. Not only when we've lost sight of him, but even when our backs are turned and we are in tears, and because of that, we no longer know where even to go at times in life. Friends, if your life, perhaps in these days, has become engulfed with a darkness that you cannot get away from, you can be sure this morning, because of this great event, that there is nothing, not sin or failure or betrayal or deceit or even death, that will stop our Lord Jesus from searching for you until he finds you. We, friends, are why God willingly walked his Good Friday journey. We are why God sacrificed himself on the altar of the cross. We are why God surrendered himself fully to death and allowed himself to be sealed inside a dark, stone-cold tomb. We, friends, we are the only reason why our God rose in victory, conquering once and for all time sin and its brokenness, and yes, even death itself. The great and glorious good news of Easter is this: in the midst of our darkness and our dark times, the Son, God's Son no less, has overcome all things. And so we linger with Mary again today. While it was still dark. But thanks be to God, the darkness did not remain. The dawn broke through the shadows of sorrow and night. God's Son appeared, and Mary became the first among many to proclaim glorious words that I hope are on your lips as well. I have seen the Lord. May it be so for us, not only today, but every day that we live. Thanks be to God.